Corinth is a real place with real people like you and me, with real issues like you and me, real problems even in the church. It's different than other churches, as James was pointing out this morning. Different churches look different. Some have suits and ties and some don't. You go to Haiti, you're going to experience something different than you do here, and even in a different town, you're going to experience something different. But Corinth had its people, and they were very rich. They were very well-to-do and very well-educated. And Paul had to deal with that, Paul the Apostle here, as he was sent by God. He had to deal with these walls that were preventing them from following Christ. What's preventing you from following Christ? Fully abandoned. You know what I mean? Just everything, cutting all ties to this world and fully pursuing Christ, as James talked about. Being a disciple of him isn't just a few attendances to a church and saying I'm this or that. It's really following him every day. Disciple. So as he's addressing them, he says, I didn't come as these other fancy speakers that would be in the area at the amphitheater and so forth with their laurel, talking to thousands of people and just wooing them with their big swelling words, as was read this morning in Jude. People were stimulated by that, intellectually stimulated, and they go home feeling good about themselves. And you know, and it was just building self-esteem and building self. Paul's saying, I didn't come with that. I'm coming with something different, where self kind of dies. And something's raised much better, much, much better than self could ever be. It's not about your best self now. You know, it's about dying and then being raised with Jesus. Maddie talked about just the fundamentals being fresh again, you know, and coming alive again and being green and real again. And that's an awesome thing. And that's what's happening here. He determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Back to the foundation. Back to the foundation. A lot of talk going on, a lot of issues, a lot of division happening in Corinth. And okay, let's get back to where the real power source is. Everybody's disconnected. Nobody's plugged into the power anymore. Everybody's up here talking about stuff, and it's all become humanism and self. And we've lost track of the foundation. Let's get back plugged in. So I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the power. That's the power that I only preach, I live by every day. It's the foundation I stand on and walk in. I need to stand on something. We need to stand on something. Amen. We're not called to be astronauts floating in space and just out there floating in nothingness. He's put us on solid ground. That solid ground is God loving us and dying for us, sending his son to die for us. That sets us free. It sets us free from trying to perform, to be something, to impress people or God. It sets us free from me. It sets me free from me, my biggest enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I tell you what, the flesh is an open door for the world and the devil to work on me all the time. But Christ, I go back to every single day. I stand on this foundation. I don't build a foundation and go start building new ones. I don't build a foundation and say I'm done with that. And no, the foundation is something that's there all the time. We draw on this foundation. It's our strength. He even says, I was with you in weakness. His words weren't swelling. They weren't impressive. He was well educated. Don't get Paul wrong. By the best of the best, Gamaliel. He was top-notch stuff, the Pharisees of the Pharisees. He threw that all out. He counted it as dirty diapers, as putting it lightly, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, really knowing life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth illuminates the path for Josh. The truth of God as we're in right now will illuminate the path that Josh is going to take in his life. And it's a path that's hard because the world's going to challenge him. The devil's going to challenge him. His flesh is going to challenge him on that path. But it's easy from the perspective of the kingdom of God. It's not a heavy burden that Christ has put on you. The challenge comes from the enemy. Our life in that path is simply yielding to the power of God. And that's what Paul is bringing out here. It's not my speech or preaching in verse 4 or enticing words that, you know, it just, yeah, I got him with that word. I got him with that parable or that parallel or whatever it was. Man's wisdom. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I think every time we gather as a body, that's a big part of that, not only sharing and giving glory to God, but a demonstration of power. I hope you sense that when we gather. When someone reads a scripture, you're just like, wow, you're absorbing that. You're getting connected to what's happening. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. People are being set free. Sometimes you see a manifestation where somebody's making weird noises or gurgling or even throwing up because demons are getting out of them. That's, you know, the demon isn't the throw up, the demon isn't the sound. Those are physical reactions to something that's happening in the spirit. Sometimes we get our eyes on the physical and say, well, that's what I need to do in order to walk closer with God. Never get your eyes on the physical. Those are just evidences of something happening in the spiritual. Early America, anybody hear of being slain in the spirit and maybe even experienced that? Anybody in here? Even heard of it? Okay, a little bit. That's when you fall over, somebody prays before you hit, you kind of pass out, sort of, you're aware of what's going on. Early America experienced that. It's called the Great Awakening. They were so oppressed religiously by the Church of England, so oppressed that you had to, that Zach had to do something to impress God on a daily basis. And they had this heavy load on them all the time. You gotta live according to these rules, these do's and don'ts. Come on, buck up, do it. And these heavy loads that nobody could bear, not even the people preaching it. Come on. And then the grace of God, through a few people that were raised up, George Whitefield, study these guys. John, help me.
John, can't remember.
George Whitefield was a big one. He was one of my favorites. Yeah. That'll come to you. You get a shout out if it comes to you. There's a couple of them. There were the lightning rods that God used miraculously to reach the early colonies. They were so touched by the grace of God. God loves me. God loves me. Zach would be here like sitting there like, God loves me just for who I am. Just for who I am. He loves me just like I am. And that would be such a revelation to them. They would have physical reactions in the flesh. Shaking would be happening. Falling down would be happening. You see it all through the scripture. The presence of the divine causes hitting the ground. And the angel would say, don't fear. Come on, I'm not the Lord. Stand up. Man, this happened in our country. I'm not reading up fairy tales, folks. Amen. This happened in our country. The grace of God hit people like Zach, hit people like James. And man, they just like, whoa, God loves me. There's a God that created me and he loves me. He wants the best for me. He created me to be a child. Not to live and play tiddlywinks the rest of my life and have the devil oppress me and keep me in a box of uselessness, but to set me free to do amazing things, to move mountains. This reaction in the flesh produced all sorts of things. The reaction in the flesh to what's happening in the spirit. People try to imitate that. So being slain in the spirit was evidence of receiving the spirit. Well, maybe people are just copying other people and out of desire or whatever. So don't get your eyes on the physical things. Fabriciano had some physical things happen, and he's at the church with the Drurys, the family that is investing in him. They go to the church over in Savannah there, and he's with them this morning. He's excited to be going to church, and he's excited about the things of God. Something real happened to him. It's called the baptisms of the Spirit. He's never heard of it before. But he experienced that. The people that he's with thought we were Baptist here and didn't do anything in the spirit. And they were like, can you tell us what happened to Fabriciano? Can you tell us? You know, what happened? They were like, wow, what happened? He got baptized in the spirit. He did? We thought you were Baptist, you know. So that's what's been happening this week, you know. And he's really excited to follow God. And good things are coming of that. That's called the baptism of the Spirit. We're not going to get into that right now, but there were some manifestations over there, and some people were like, oh, that's weird. You know, the things that there's some groanings going on and some utterances. Those are evidences in the flesh of what's happening in the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want that to happen every time we meet. God help us if it's a routine. Okay, 53 minutes, we're out of here. I grew up that way. Boom, it was done, and people cleared. You were done for the week, you did your duty, you served your job. You kneeled, got up, and kneeled, and got up, and kneeled, and got up enough times out the door, and that's not what God wants in our life. The demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Is there anything that is too big for God? Anybody got any ideas? Okay. We need to be reminded of that in times when we're not on the mountaintop, when we're in the valley of the shadow. We need to remember that God is just as big, that our belief needs to remain just as strong, that God is still the same, that He will not leave us, that His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Praise God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, in verse 5, but in the power of God. Not in the wisdom of men, as much as we would like it to stand. God help you if you become a disciple of me. Because I don't do something or do something, do not become a disciple of Paul Myers, please. The wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because it'll just be fleeting. You need to stand. You need to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. It talks about that in Colossians. Be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Man, sink your roots deep into the love of God. Realize His love for you and respond to it. You'll find yourself just saying, I love you back to Him. You'll find yourself just desiring to serve Him. You'll find yourself desiring to be in the light. That your deeds will be exposed. God, search me. If there's anything that's unclean in my heart or my mind, get it out of me, God. He'll do it. Be careful what you pray. You will get an answer, and it's a good one. Sometimes it's like a tooth extraction. All right, sometimes things are removed from our life, and it's not necessarily a comfortable thing. But it's worth it. It's worth to have the rotting, decaying tooth pulled out than to sit there in pain the rest of your life and have everything revolving around that pain. Anybody's ever had chronic pain, you know that your life can revolve around that pain. We stand in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world, the high elite, that come to nothing. All of that, all the wisdom of men, all the great accomplishments of men. Think about it. All of that's going to someday just be nothing. It's valuable now. It's good to learn things, and it's good. God has given us a brain to advance and do things. But eventually all that comes to nothing. What remains is we're going to talk about in chapter 3, the precious rubies and diamonds, and all that will be tested with fire. Beautiful, man. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, verse 7 says, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. If you can get a grip on that, you need to come and give me a sermon, okay? Zach, spend the rest of your life getting a grip on that and tell me when you figured that one out. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before He created anything, before the world, unto our glory. Unto our glory. That's cool. This is for all of us. This is the word of God. Let's give Him that honor and respect that this is His word. none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If they really knew the love of God, they wouldn't have crucified him. If they really knew and had revelation of this light, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Pilate's wife seemed to have an inkling of it. Remember, she had a dream. Says, don't. Hubby, not this guy. Whatever you do, this guy is righteous. There's something. This guy is in the right. Man, she had a revelation of it. But it wasn't her call, was it? Ultimately, it was Pilate's. And he would just ask the question when Jesus talked about truth. What is truth? What is truth? How often do we get that today? I don't know about this. What is truth? In other words, truth is what I think it is. There's 7 billion of us on the planet. All of us, all 7 billion, born with that mentality. It's the mentality of sin. It's the framework of sin. It comes from one sin, and it's bled through all of humanity to you and me. We have that mentality of sin. That what we know, that we are the top. Our opinion reigns over everything else, including God. Satan exalted himself above God. I will rise above God. I will be greater than God. That's something you're invited into, to continue in and remain in and abide in, if you want to remain on the throne. If you want to remain on the throne in your life, you're born on that throne. You're welcome to. But it's the broad way that Jesus talks about. And it's a way to destruction. We were never meant to go on that way. We're never meant to have that position of being God. Yet we have it. It is something that we submit at the cross. We give up our godhood. Little g. The promise of Satan that you will be gods, knowing good and evil. Just eat of this tree of the good and evil, the knowledge of the good and evil, and you will be like gods. He was right. What he didn't tell us was the rest of the misery that goes along with that. We're in a position that we should never have occupied. We're born in that position. You want to know why there's wars? People are killing each other? Because we're in a position that we should not be in. It's a fallen world. By one man came that fall, and by one man comes life, hope, eternal life. That's God's economy. It's just, it's fair. One man, sin came in, by one man it exits. We put our trust in that man who happens to be the Son of God eternally. God the Son. Amen. Praise God. We speak the wisdom of God. He's talking now to the mature people, the people that are not needing to go through repentance again and again or whatever, but to really bring them into the qualities of the kingdom of God, to start growing and start being on the offense instead of just the defense. It was a big question for Briciano. Wanted to know and understand this. What happened to him? He said there's nothing has ever happened in his life, and he's had many experiences like what happened here. Nothing. He was like mystified by it. He really wanted to know what's next? What is this? I gave him some information from the scripture, of course, but also a simple analogy of him being on the offense now, instead of just being on the defense, okay, and trying to push back the sin, push back the world, and fighting it, and, you know, being that new creature he's called to be, and now being an overcomer and victorious, and being on the offense and winning souls.
being a martyr for Christ, giving your life totally unabandoned for Him, being on the offense. We know a good offense is a great defense. If your offense is kicking, man, then that's a great defense on top of it. Verse 9, prepare to be blown away by God, folks. As you follow Him, James, as you start stepping and following Him, prepare for this one, man. Prepare for it. As it is written. It's written in Isaiah 64:4. Now it's coming to the reality of the Holy Spirit-filled church. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. We do work hard on those wedding receptions. We think we do anyway. We think we do. They cost a lot, and it's a lot of work and sweat and frustration sometimes when things don't work out or people don't come through that are supposed to, you didn't get as many things as they were supposed to, and all those things, that struggle. Think about the reception. Think about what God has prepared for us. Don't even compare to that. Come on. Because eye hasn't seen, or ear even heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man. So I can't even describe it to you. Paul, when he was, he didn't even know what happened. Paul the Apostle, I think I was alive, maybe I died. It was one of the times that he got stoned, you know, and left for dead there, that he experienced going to heaven. He said, I can't even, there isn't words to describe it. What am I going to use? English, Russian, French, to describe what heaven is like, what God has prepared for you, what this meal looks like, how delicious it is, what colors are even, what music is like in heaven, the beauty of God and His radiance, which you guys try to draw. Your minds are going to be blown. Well, I'm going to forever be praising God. Yes! That's the simple explanation of the response to what, your mind being blown by God. He's prepared something awesome. It's worth it. This little trial on earth, this little tiny trial on earth, it's worth it for what He's prepared for us. You can be excited about it. He gives us a little deposit now. He gives us a little inkling of that. If you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, come forward today. Come forward and get that deposit of the Holy Spirit, that fire from above. That deposit, like, I want to taste heaven now, Lord God. I know what chocolate cake tastes like. I know what mocha, monkey, Ben and Jerry's, all that stuff is, that's wonderful. But it's potty compared to the heavenly gift. It really is. It really is, if we could get a grip on that. It's so much better than the fleeting pleasures of this earth and what flesh can bring. God has designed our body that we would have pleasure, that we'd be able to enjoy food. Thank God He's like that. He's a God that gave us taste buds. Can you imagine if we just didn't have a tongue? And it's like, you just open it up and I got to eat to have energy now. Come on, He's a God that put sweet and sour taste buds in your mouth. Every single one. He's a God that put so many nerves on your fingertips. The most nerves that you get a paper cut, your man, you know it. Oh yeah, I remember that now. There's all the nerves are there. Yeah, you can feel it. This is a tiny little cut. That we'd be able to feel and sense different things. But such little pleasure though. Such a shadow of this real substance that is going to be revealed to us. Thank God for the deposit now of His Holy Spirit. It's for you and me for the asking. Oh, He won't give it to me. I don't trust Him. He's always up to tricks. He wants to give it to you. You being evil, parents, Jesus says. And He's not saying that to smash us. He's saying it's because it's the truth. It's the best that we can be. The best parents on this earth are evil compared to God. The best. Let's just get right down to it. Let's be truthful. He wasn't stretching the truth or exaggerating or trying to put someone down. He is the truth. You being evil, want to give good things to your kids. You want the best for them. How much more will the perfect one, the Creator, give you the Holy Spirit? The real food. Come on, the real thing that brings joy. That's pleasure in the kingdom of God. It's called joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Other places it says you don't need a teacher, for the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to you. That is true. There is nothing I'm going to pop in your head that's going to make you a Christian. The Holy Spirit is going to do that job in your heart. In your heart, past the brain, the cranium. There's a deeper part of you called your heart. It's not the thumping thing either. Okay? It's the deepest part of you. And there's only one teacher that goes there, and that's the Holy Spirit. I'm doing the work of the Holy Spirit now, and so I'm submitting to the Holy Spirit by reading the Word of God. But certainly not to fill your head with things and puff you up with knowledge. But that God would reveal to you real truth. And that truth would set you free, even now. He goes on to say, for what man knows the things of even a man? How do we know each other? How do I know what's going on right now in Josh's head? Or Josh, you're being good, by the way. I'm not just picking on you for that. Zach, you're being good, too. Or Mindy's head. How do I know what's going on in their head? Is the game yesterday still going on in their head? Is that play that almost was? How do I know the things that are going on in the mind? So he's comparing that, and he's going to bring out, how do we know the things? How do we know the mind of God? Why does God do what He does? Why is the world rolling out like it is? Why does He do what He's done to different individuals throughout the Bible? Why? How do we know the mind of God? How do we know the mind even of a man? Unless we were to jump inside of that person and really be them. There's a commercial that you do that face switch or something on the phone, on the iPhones. And then the commercial, it really happened. The basketball player became this little dude. And he's like, come on, give my body back. We really don't know what's going on inside of a person unless we really are in that place. So to know the mind of God, we have to have the Holy Spirit. That's the idea here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, in verse 12, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. George Washington Carver, I want to know God. I want to know the mysteries of the universe. I want to know it, God. I want to know how You do things and how You think and why and all this stuff. Where did he end up? Anybody know? What did God show him? I heard it.
The peanut.
The peanut. He blew his mind with one peanut. Let me show you a peanut, which God created. Let's start there, George. Blew his mind, man. Come on, this happened. This is one of our forefathers in America. George Washington Carver. Different than George Washington, who was also a believer. Totally different testimonies. A peanut. From that, said, okay, God, show me. Thank God we have PBJs now because of that man. But there was hundreds of things beyond that that God showed him the value of that peanut. Floor polish to different things in the medical. Do the research on it. This is the God we serve. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Don't think anything's too small. James talking about he read the verse today about, you know, being despised. Those are excuses that we could use, and God addressing them. Well, I'm too young that God could use me. I'm just a peanut. Look out, man. Look out. If you yield to God, look at David's life. If you yield to God, glass going down. I'm telling you, he's going down.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That seems like a good place to start. Kind of crawling through Corinthians there. Was hoping to get to chapter 3. It's really exciting. Very powerful chapter coming up. Man, there's people in the Bible, and I know I'm one of the people outside of the Bible, that is just, you just get undone. The presence of God and his majesty, who he is, everything about him, even the humility of Christ. Would you choose, if you were God of the universe, you made some pretty awesome things, some planets and some nebulas and some quasars and you know, it's just amazing, beautiful stuff. Xander was talking about quartz. He identified 5 different quartzes, I believe it was, down at Camp Gregory in that big rock outside the lodge. He blew my mind. I was like, cool, man, there's somebody else that digs science down here. And by the way, congratulations on winning the bridge construction, the pennies, the weight.
You heard
that? Yeah, it gets around. Word gets around.
How? Awesome.
Praise God, man. Keep going. Give glory to God in everything you do. Do it unto him. That's awesome, man. Keep going. So you have all of this beauty, and you would choose something that an animal licked out of, an animal feeding trough, to enter this world into, and through impoverished people, Mary and Joseph, just nobodies. Nobody's. They were so poor they had to give the poorest of the poorest thing for a sacrifice, two turtle doves. And that was probably a big stretch for them. I come undone just to the humility of our God. That's part of who he is. Don't get a one-sided, lopsided image of who God is. Never, never, ever. Light is infinite in its representation of colors. That's one of the big revelations I've had of God in my life. To Paul, you're looking at me in one shade. Just one shade. I'll give it some other time. I'll tell you about that testimony. Awesome. It's awesome. Some other time. Praise God. Come forward for a prayer today to be healed, to be delivered, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have hands laid on you as the scripture tells us. To know these gifts that God has for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.